वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंट 11 चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 19। नित्या आरती देना वित्तेना दुर्लभेन आत्मृत्युना गृह अपत्या आप्ता पशुभि का प्रीति साधिता चलई नित्यार्थितेन वित्तेन दुर्लभेन आत्मृत्युना गृहापत्या पशुभिः का प्रीति साधितश्चलैः नित्यार्दिनेन वित्तेन दुर्लभेनात्मना मृत्युना गृहाप्ता अपत्य पशुभिः का प्रीति साधितश्चलैः नित्यार्दिनेन वित्तेन दुर्लभेनात्ममृत्युना गृहापत्याप्ता पशुभिः का प्रीति साधितश्चलैः नित्यार्दिनेन वित्तेन प्रीति साधितश्चलैः नित्यातिदेन वित्तेन दुर्लभेनात्ममृत्युना दुर्लभत्यात्मपशुभिः का प्रीति साधितश्चलैः नित्यातिदेन वृत्तेन माताजी नित्या कॉन्स्टेंटली आरती देना गिविंग पेन वित्तेना विथ वेल्थ दुर्लभेना हार्ड टू एक्वायर आत्ममृत्युना डेथ फॉर द सेल्फ गृह विथ वन्स होम अपत्या चिल्ड्रन आप्ता रिलेटिव्स पशुभिः एंड डोमेस्टिक एनिमल्स का व्हाट प्रीतिः हैप्पीनेस साधितैः विचार गेन बाय दैट वेल्थ चलैः अनस्टेडी। ट्रांसलेशन बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Wealth is a perpetual source of distress. It is the most difficult to acquire and it is virtual death for the soul. What satisfaction does one actually gain from his wealth? Similarly, how can one gain ultimate or permanent happiness from one's so-called home, children, relatives and domestic animals, which are all maintained by one's hard-earned money? Since this verse does not have a purport, we also read text number 20. Evam lokam param vidyan ashwaram karma nityam nirmitam satulya atishayadvamsam yatha mandalavartinam. Translation: one cannot find permanent happiness even on the heavenly planets, which one can attain in the next life by ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices. Even in material heaven, the living entity is disturbed by rivalry with his equals and envy of those superior to him. And since one's residence in heaven is finished by the exhaustion of pious fruitive activities, the denizens of heavens are afflicted by fear, anticipating the destruction of their heavenly life. Thus they resemble kings who, though enviously admired by ordinary citizens, are constantly harassed by enemy kings and who therefore never attain actual happiness. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted the following text from the Chandogya Upanishad. Tad yateha karma chitto loka shiyate evam mutra punya chitto loka shiyate. One's present status of material pleasure, the result of one's previous work, will eventually be vanquished by time. Similarly, although by executing pious activities, one will be elevated to a higher status in next life, that future situation also will be vanquished. The basis of material enjoyment is the particular body one has acquired. The material body is called karma chitta, the accumulated result of one's previous material activities. If one is awarded a body decorated with beauty, education, popularity, strength and so on, his standard of material enjoyment is certainly high class. On the other hand, if one is ugly, mentally retarded, crippled or repulsive to others, there is very little hope for his material happiness. In both cases, however, the situation is flickering and temporary. One who has acquired an attractive body should not rejoice, since death will quickly bring an end to such an intoxicating situation. Similarly, one who has taken birth in an obnoxious situation should not lament, since his suffering also is temporary. The beautiful man and the ugly man, the rich and poor, the educated and the foolish, should all endeavor to become Krishna conscious, so that they can be elevated to their eternal constitutional situation, which is to reside in the planets beyond this material universe. Originally, every living entity is unimaginably beautiful, intelligent, wealthy and so strong that a spiritual body lives forever. But we foolishly give up this eternal blissful situation because we are unwilling to meet the condition for eternal life. The condition is that we should be a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Although the love of Krishna is the most exquisite ecstasy, surpassing by millions of times the most intense pleasure of the material universe, we foolishly break off our loving affair with the Supreme Lord and artificially try to become independent enjoyers in the material atmosphere of self-delusion and false pride. Even if one reaches the exalted heavenly planets of this universe, he will be afflicted by various types of suffering. Every conditioned soul in this material world wants to become the greatest person. Therefore, one is constantly harassed by his equals who have a similar desire. This situation is commonly termed the rat race of the material existence. Even on the heavenly planets, there is a similar rat race for heavenly distinction. Since some persons inevitably excel our own achievements, our hearts burn with envy upon seeing others enjoying the very rewards we have strived for. And because our whole situation is temporary, we must undergo fear, anxiety and death even on the heavenly planets. The example here given here is very nice. Minor kings may be enviously admired by ordinary citizens for their wealth, power and fame, but such kings themselves constantly burn with jealousy, resentment and fear due to rivalry and threat from other kings. Similarly, modern politicians are constantly harassed by envy and fear. Srila Bhakti Sanasari Thakur has pointed out that the conditioned souls, being eager to acquire material happiness and avoid distress, take shelter of sexual relationships and thus surrender to the hard labor of fruitive activities, Those who are enlightened, however, can perceive the ultimate futility of such gross materialistic endeavors. One's so-called wife, home, children, relatives, bank account and so on are all temporary phantasmagoria, and even while manifest, they can never give real satisfaction to one's senses. To acquire wealth in this world, one is practically forced to become the killer of his own soul. There is no possibility of acquiring pleasure from materialistic activities, since they are performed with temporary senses in the hot pursuit of temporary sense objects. When the conditioned soul achieves his goal, he becomes proud and brags to others as if his achievements were permanent. And when defeated, he is submerged in lamentation. Such a tendency to consider oneself the doer is a sign of weak intelligence, since in fact the living entity is merely desiring within the material body. The body itself is moved by the forces of material nature under the control of God. The relationships of master and servant, father and son, husband and wife entail exchanges of well-wishing and service that give a sense of material gratification, but such ephemeral devotion can never bring about the eternal absolute benefit of the soul. By such temporary gratification, Maya induces the conditioned soul to wander throughout the material world, pursuing the relative rewards of material nature. According to the subtle laws of karma, the living entity achieves happiness in distress. One cannot obtain happiness by force, no matter how strenuously or how long one tries. Therefore, those whose intelligence is uncontaminated should surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna and should give the ludicrous pursuit of permanent material happiness, a pursuit which can be compared to a dog's chasing his tail. Om Agyantimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashchati Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratushe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakti Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nityardi Dena Vittena, Durlabhena Atmana Mrityuna, Grahapatya Apta Pashubhihi, Kapriti Sadhitaschale. Wealth is a perpetual source of distress. It is most difficult to acquire and is virtual death for the soul. What satisfaction does one actually gain from his wealth? Similarly, how can one gain ultimate or permanent happiness from one so-called home, children, relatives and domestic animals, which are all maintained by one's hard-earned money? This is a continuation of the conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the nine Yogendras. All the nine Yogendras are interacting with Maharaj Nimi. Fulfilling his curiosity with remedies. And today's discussion is very pertinent, as I also felt that the Bhagavatam is the Prema Grantha is beyond Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Definitely it denounces all Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, all kinds of Karma Kanda, all kinds of Jnana Kanda, all kinds of ritualistic ceremonies or ritualism. And here the discussion also which Shukdev Goswami is narrating to Sri Parikshit Maharaj is also on the lines of Maharaj Parikshit, who has completely renounced everything. So it's befitting also to a king who has given up to feel confident that he has given up all these things for a great cause. Many a times our doubt gets the better of our intelligence. Have we really given up to get something great than what we have given up? And therefore this is very critical to become convinced of. Are we striving for a goal for which we have given up all the allurements and the desires which are naturally attractive for the conditioned living entity? Has our conditioning gone beyond, or has our conviction gone beyond our conditioning? Is our conditioning weak or is our conviction weak? Is our conditioning strong or our conviction is strong? Is what this verse relates to a sadhaka. For a realized soul like Parikshit Maharaj, who has already had a vision of Krishna in the womb, this is what samskars mean. What Parikshit Maharaj experienced in the womb of the mother is actually in our Vedic scriptures. He is not an exception. He is not a special case. Every human being or every civilized human being is given that opportunity of seeing Krishna while in the womb. Why? Because in our scriptures the life begins at conception, not at so called birth. So actually when we celebrate birthday, is actually the birth of this manifest fully formed body. The arrival of the soul happens at conception. Therefore the journey of the soul begins way before. And the most auspicious beginning of the journey has to begin in the womb of the mother. Therefore Parikshit Maharaj journey, the beginning of his journey is auspicious. Therefore his end also is auspicious, his departure. Both were glorious. There may not be that opportunity and that fortune with everyone, but if properly guided, if properly organized, this can happen for everybody, what Parikshit Maharaj has gone through. And therefore conviction begins while being in the womb of the mother. The sankalpa of the living entity takes place when the child is in the womb of the mother. And the sankalpa is completed when the soul is living or departing this body. In between the journey of the struggle of the Atma with Dharma, Artha and Kama is constantly going on. And in this struggle, what matters is deep conviction. Along with the conviction matters is great character, and along with character is requirement of great competence also. Simply conviction is not enough. The character must back that conviction. And once that character is formed, that conviction as character has to express in competence. Why? Because the atmosphere is of a constant challenge. In an atmosphere of constant challenge, the conviction has to be deep, the character has to be very pristine, and the competence has to be highly excellent. All these three when combined in the face of a challenge, That's when the living entity finds the journey moving towards his destination. And here the means in the journey are all as important as the journey itself. The means of the journey are not lesser than the goal itself. As explained by Srila Prabhupada and many other instances also, that the sadhya is as important as sadhana. Therefore we offer respects, we worship the not just the deity, but we also worship the altar, the paraphernalia. In fact, this training is given to the living entity to see everything as spiritual. But beginning from where his conditioning begins from? The conditioning is that the Lord is in the temple, the Lord is in the deity, so the conviction begins there, that there is God. Then that conviction transfers to the living entity's own heart, feels that connection that Krishna is also within my heart, dictating the Paramatma within. So he sees the same Paramatma within. Now that his conviction in his own companionship with the Paramatma, he expands that companionship to compassion by seeing that same Paramatma in every living entity. So the conviction and character and competence ultimately leads to compassion. Comprehending everything in the creation, comprehending creation and exhibiting compassion. It becomes the trait of the journey. It becomes a trademark of the sadhaka. The sadhaka does not see sadhana, sadhaka and sadhya as something different. And therefore here, when Shri Prabuddha is explaining as how the conditioning becomes stronger than the conviction, is when one relates the sadhya to be the means other than that of that goal, not relating to the goal. The wealth, the dharma, artha and kama, they are all explained in terms of the relation to sadhya. They are not explained in terms of relation as a means to enjoy separate from our goal. And therefore here very nicely explained, in fact Shri Bhishma Dev also explains to Yudhishthir Maharaj while being on the deathbed important instructions as what are the roles and the duties of the king. Yudhishthir Maharaj does not want to rule because he does not want to get entangled. Priyavrat Maharaj already had given up. It was under Brahmaji's insistence that he was brought back to rule. Prahlad Maharaj himself, being a very elevated soul, he ruled the kingdom. Dhruva Maharaj, after seeing Krishna, he had no interest to rule, but he still ruled over the planet for 36,000 years. But how is this possible? We have, even if we realize the self, we still have this body to continue in. And therefore, the explanation here is that the wealth is being explained here and the constant strife in the life of a king is explained. How kings are constantly threatened by envy, their own fear and anxiety of someone becoming more powerful than themselves. So very nicely is explained the duties of the king to Yudhishthir Maharaj and how Prabuddha is explaining to Nimi Maharaj about the same wealth. But both look contrasting. In one sense, Yudhishthir Maharaj is told to acquire wealth, and here the king is been explained what are the ill effects of the wealth. So how do we comprehend? This is the gift of faith. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. So jnana does not come by study, by cultivation of faith for a long time one gets jnanam, which comes from within. Divya jnan ride prakashito. Jnana is there, but divya jnana will come from within. Gyan is only something that comes from inside out and not taken outside in. And therefore, it is a question of anubhuti. It is a question of anubhav. Therefore, when we speak about spiritual life, it is not just knowledge. It is jnanam. Jnanam vijnana sahitam. It has to be sahitam. And that only comes when there is anubhuti, when there is anubhav. That is when knowledge is acquired. But then, after this knowledge is acquired, one has to comprehend all contrast in the scriptures as well as conflicts in life. There's a contrast in Pandava's life. They began with being sons of king in the forest, landed up to rule, ultimately to land again in the forest, and again they had to rule, and ultimately they had to go to the forest. There's a constant flickering situation in their life. One should not expect a very smooth ride in spiritual journeys. If it is so smooth, there is some problem. It ceases to be spiritual. Why? Because in the wake of challenge, the constant growth of conviction, the constant deepening of character, and the constant constant building of competence takes place. And therefore, here is explained that wealth is a distraction, but wealth is a necessity. It is a necessary distraction in one sense. All of us know this evil very well, right? However, we may say in the Bhagavatam class, how wealth is so dangerous, how wealth is so destructive. Ultimately, everything comes in the discussion is the wealth. After years we come to know. In the initial years we are not told. In the initial years we are told about the philosophy, about the dangers of that wealth. And years later we actually seem to pursue that wealth dangerously. How is this contrast happening in spiritual life? Especially when we are living as sadhus, we are not even supposed to discuss about wealth. Well, ultimately we'll all have to handle this wealth in our life. Even those so-called being renunciates, in fact the renunciates have to manage more wealth than the people outside, because they only have one bank account or two or three. But here we have multiple services and all of them require wealth, not labor. If it was required by labor, it would have been managed. But ultimately it requires wealth. And therefore, artha is the foundation of a very balanced civilization. Therefore, we have Brihaspati Arthashastra, we have Shukra Niti, which is also speaking about Arthashastra. And ultimately, Chanakya Pandit, he compiled all of these various Arthashastra into his own understanding and context of that time, and he called it Kautilya Arthashastra. And sometimes we wonder, why is the whole treatise, in fact Chanakya Pandit has given nothing but Kautilya Arthashastra. That is his only authentic writing. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Shikshastakam, here we have only Chanakya Pandit's writing as Kautilya Arthashastra. Ultimately, what does it explain? It explains all the tenets of dharma, in which the first thing explains Dandaniti. The same parallel between Chanakya Pandit and Mahabharata's counter is parallel of Bhishma speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj is all about the same thing. So Dandaniti is being very, very, very imposively characteristically very much emphasized, because it endures the civilized obedience of the citizens to dharma. Normally citizens are not prone to follow the rules of dharma. Therefore a strong Dandaniti ensures or makes sure there is satyuga that comes in the governance, a satyuga like atmosphere. So that Danda Niti is explained, and therefore even Yudhishthir Maharaj is being told by Shila Bhishma Dev that if one completely implements Danda Niti, then Satyuga comes to that kingdom. If one implements only 3/4, then Treta Yuga comes. And if one implements only half, Dwapar Yuga like situation comes. And one neglects, then the king himself becomes the evil ruler and destroys the civilization or the kingdom. And therefore he is told by Shila Bhishma Dev that king has to become like a gardener and not a charcoal collector. Very nice example. How do we understand all of these things? How a king is supposed to be a gardener? The gardener simply removes the flowers from the trees and collects the essence, the fragrance from the flowers. The charcoal collector exhausts and burns the whole tree and gets the charcoal from the wood. What does that mean? The king grows fragrance and multiplies the assets of the kingdom while extracting the fruits which are perpetual from those assets. A very uncivilized evil king will burn up the whole forest in greed and will get everything in one go and has nothing to get in the future for himself and for his subjects in the future. Therefore, a bee, under comparison in the Arthashastra, which Chanakya Pandit is comparing to a bee. The king has compared to a bee. What does a bee do? Do you see bee going greedy and collecting all the nectar from one flower and exhausting that flower? The bee goes, collects that minimum bare amount from that flower which requires it to survive, while collecting its bare minimum necessity from that flower only. That means, it is said that a Brahman who comes to beg charity knows the situation of the donor first. How much is his capacity to give? The Brahman never asks more than the capacity of donor. And the donor also knows. If someone comes to him, or some beggar comes to him asking, or someone comes asking for him, he will give to that person without asking what he wants basically, because he understands what is the need of that person. So the beggar should know the capacity of the donor, right? And the donor should know the need of that beggar. Both have to be intelligent. So the king has to be intelligent, the subjects also have to be intelligent to choose such a king. And therefore, the explanation is given in such a nice way, and Rajasuya Yajna is being performed by Yudhishthir Maharaj on when Rajasuya Yajna's seed was sown by Narad Muni. He gave the pretext of that Pandu is in heaven and Pandu is still not reached the heavenly planets and he is looking for all of you to perform this yajna, that the merit of that yajna will reach Pandu and help him to ascend to heaven. So then he says there are a lot of complications in doing this Rajasuya Yajna, so better deliberate. So Rajasuya Yajna to happen, Yudhishthir Maharaj did a constant consulting of all his ministers. And Bhishma Dev says that before even the king is coronated, he must appoint his head priest. Why? Because the king will take care of the kingdom, but the king will be taken care of by the head priest. And therefore, in order to even start to rule, one has to know that ourselves, and therefore Brahmins, they had the highest responsibility in the society. Not that they were worshipped in the highest position. They were worshipped only because they had the highest duty to execute. That means they knew all the shastras. They knew how to guide a king. They knew what to tell. Chanakya Pandit writes that what is artha? We have also explained that wealth means what, and therefore here also very nice understanding of wealth is given. What is the understanding of wealth here given? Arti dena vittena griha apatya apta pashu bhi. Even the animals are mentioned in the wealth. And therefore, Arthashastra maintains that the first thing that is counted in wealth is agriculture. The second is animal husbandry, and third is trade. And the resources are very nice. Resources are forests. Labor is also considered as a resource. So what a fantastic understanding of wealth given. And how to increase this wealth is a constant meditation of the king. So now when it is explained here, the wealth is a perpetual source of distress. That means that wealth which is not used as sadhya for the goal is the sadhya, and the sadhan are the means. I wish to correct the previous. The sadhya is the goal, and sadhan are the means. So unless that the sadhan are not used for the sadhya, for the goal, that sadhya becomes a source of distress. And that has to be very much engraved in the mind of the citizen by this ruling of the king. In fact, the next time when Yudhishthira Maharaj has to perform the Ashwamedha Yajna after the coronation, so there is a mongoose who comes in the middle of the Yajna ceremony, and that mongoose is half gold in his skin, half his normal skin, and he's rolling in the Yajna in between, and he's shouting aloud that this Yajna is not even a grain of what I have experienced long back ago. This Ashwamedha Yajna had immense amount of charity done. So Rajasuya Yajna was done by Yudhishthira Maharaj after deep consultations, and lot of wealth acquisition had to be done for the Rajasuya Yajna, so that the king or the Chakravarti would not just administer his own kingdom, but would make sure that he has got enough capacity to administer and supervise all the other janpads with the same template of dharma, dharmic ruling. Not necessary all kings would accept the arthaniti, because there would be greed, there would be tyranny, there would be exploitation. So Duryodhan did all the rituals, but not for the sadhya, but is for his own greed. Therefore, in order that the greed of the king may not overpower the dharmic rule of the kingdom, Yudhishthira Maharaj calculated the strength, calculated the weighed the options, how much violence, how much attack, how much invasion, how much he had to conquer territories, was all laid out, and then they were all sent in all directions, the four brothers. So much responsible life. Wealth, if one has, one has to become a sage to have wealth. One cannot handle wealth without being a saintly or a sage within. And therefore, it's not a question that wealth is a source of distress. It is a source of distress. But how that distress, full, how that possible distress could be potentially guided as a meaningful asset for the whole society. That's very important. And therefore, Artha, in fact, it is said, anyone who has the highest positions in any institution should basically and very deeply have knowledge of Arthashastra. Why? Because the whole institution is dealing with money, wealth. As soon as there is an institution, there is a lot of wealth. And therefore, wealth has to be understood in terms of the deeper aspects which are given in our Shastra. Wealth is not coinage. Wealth is not currency. Wealth is more beyond than we think of. And therefore, here, Pashu Bhihi. Therefore, animals were considered as the wealth. Grains were considered as the wealth. The forests were considered as the wealth. It was not the currency which was ever mentioned as the only primary source or primary indicator of wealth. And therefore, if the government had to increase the wealth of the nation, they increased the irrigation, the agriculture, the prosperity of the land, and that was considered as artha. And therefore when people take Arthashastra as how to make money in management, this is the bias. And they never touch the jnana. They only touch the surface of it. And therefore what happens when there is a wrong interpretation or misunderstanding of artha, we get as economy. And that economy converts into GDP. And that GDP creates more economic ruin. The same economy, which is the parameters of GDP, creates the greater economic ruin. The same GDP functions actually reaching a saturation and creating a more ghastly situation for the whole planet in terms of environmental challenges. Therefore, we find that there's a nice story which once one of the members of Bharatiya Shikshan Mandal was talking on in respect to the aspects of education that is taking place in our society. He was explaining that once in a village, how do we imitate Western models? So he was saying that once in his village, there was a farmer who had a lot of sheep. That's also wealth. Bahut sari bakri hona. So they had wealth. So he went, so he had bakri that usko bimari ho gayi, usko had a pain in the stomach. So someone told him, the serpent told him, go to the Mahajan, the highest respectable personality in the village, and he also has his sheep. And last week his sheep also had some distress in the stomach. You better ask him, follow the Mahajans. Actually Mahajan means the respectable person in the society. So Mahajana Yanakatasa Panta also has two meanings. Mahajans mean great souls, and Mahajan also means in the village there is a Mahajan. Everything goes to that Mahajan. Okay, he is very respectful, respectable, he is neutral, he is caring, he is concerned. So he went and he said, my sheep has a stomach ache, what to do? He said, what did you do for your sheep? So he said, I gave my sheep kerosene. So he said, wow, kerosene works. So he went immediately, gave kerosene to his sheep. Jaise pilai kerosene, wo bakri mar gayi. So he said, what is this? So he went to that Mahajan again and said, आपने बोला केरोसिन पिलाओ कि बकरी मर गई. तो उसने पूछा कि मैंने तुमको कहां बताया कि केरोसिन पीने से ठीक होगा. मैंने बोला मैंने अपनी बकरी को केरोसिन पिलाया. आपने पूछा आपने क्या किया. मैंने केरोसिन पिलाया. तो आपकी बकरी क्या हो गया, आपकी बकरी जिंदा है. नहीं, मेरी बकरी भी मर गई. ही सेड दैट माय शीप हैज डाइड टेकिंग दिस केरोसिन. I told you what I gave. I didn't tell you what happened after that. So you took my advice thinking that, oh, this is Mahajan. Whatever he does must have a great good consequence, but do not know that this Mahajan also followed a faulty line of treatment. So economy, when established in society, talking about economics and wealth, we are following a model which is actually a Western model which has failed. Uski bakri mar chuki hai. Lekin hum uski bakri marne ke baad bhi wohi khila rahe usko. Hamari bakri ko bhi. And therefore, this becomes very disturbing in a society which is enlightened by Shastra. And how is that we are living in a society which we are falsely and blindly imitating the idea of artha, which is devastating, destructive and distressing, like this wealth which is explained in by Sri Prabuddha. And we ourselves are part of that system. We are going through that same churn. We get to know that churn bit by bit as we actually go ahead. And therefore this understanding is so important that even Yudhishthir Maharaj is so careful to even access wealth. Even to gain wealth, he had deliberated a lot. Why? Because wealth is not about acquisition of resources. Wealth is actually increasing the prosperity. Resources and prosperity are something different. Therefore, very nicely, one I met a member of parliament and he had a fantastic understanding to approach a problem. And I felt it very, very, very beneficial. He said, anything that you want to tackle in life, put an objective. In that objectives, lay out the priority. In the priority, make a strategy. And in that strategy, get resources. And then work one by one. And therefore, your objective was establishing that rule of dharma by dandaniti. This is what Bhishma Dev says to Yudhishthir. Don't be lenient. Don't be casual. Don't be lenient and don't be too strict and too punishing for your citizens. If you are lenient, they will take you very lightly. If you are too much punishing, you will create an uprising or a rebellion. How important it is to understand, even in an institution where we are somehow put or thrust in leadership or managerial positions. And therefore, Arthashastra explains the big gamut of life. And therefore, when that mongoose is there and mongoose is running here, and then he says, I had gone to a place where there was a Brahmin. There's a lot of drought, famine in that area. There was nothing to eat. In a Brahmin's family, they had nothing to eat. They had gathered some food after a lot of time. And at the same time, when they were about to eat, the father, the wife, the son, the daughter-in-law, at the same time a Brahmin came to their house and he asked food to eat. As soon as he asked, they started to give their portion. The father gave. He was not satisfied. He gave more. The son came. Then the mother gave. The daughter-in-law gave. All of them gave their food to eat. It was Rantidev-like situation. After the guest left, all four of them died out of hunger. That was the last meal that they were banking upon to survive. And he said, and as soon as this people left, this Brahman who was actually there was in the guise of Dharma personified. He actually escorted all of these four to Vaikuntha. Why? Because they were so wealthy in their heart. They did not consider their bodies before giving out to a Brahman who actually needed, who they felt he needed more. How much happy is a person who thinks that others need more than what I require? And this is actually artha, satisfaction. So artha means wealth, artha means these resources, artha also means the satisfaction in life. When actually one gets the satisfaction, that is the real artha, that is the real wealth acquisition. And therefore Yudhishthir Maharaj wanted that artha. So when this mongoose said, as soon as I went to the kitchen and a little bit of floor that was, particles were lying out there, I rolled in that floor and my half side of that which I rolled in that floor, that my body became touched with that gold. It became gold because of being touched by those grains which are used for this sacrifice. Not for Vishnu, but giving to a Brahmin. And therefore, Yudhishthir Maharaj is cautioned. I have done a great sacrifice, I have done a great charity. But because I had so much, I gave so much. These people had nothing to give, and they have given so much. Who is more greater charitable personality? Who is more satisfied? Who is more wealthy? And he is humbled. The king of the universe, the king of the whole Bharatvarsha is humbled by a mongoose. Therefore, vidya means vidya dadati vinayam. After vidya, one should get vinay. That means, what is that vinay? I don't know. I have begun the process of knowing. I may have access to the highest, but I am still the lowest. Because I have a long way to acquire that highest perfection. I have to learn, I have to understand, I have to experience. And therefore here is so nicely explained, so many pastimes here, that how conditioning can become so strong than our conviction. Why? Because if we are into a comfort zone, then our conviction will become weaker than our conviction. The conditioning will become stronger than our conviction. There was a Brahman who actually went to meet a sannyasi, and while speaking with him, his saliva fell on him. So he cursed him that you'll become pig. And then this person said, please forgive me, it was unintentional, please do something. He said, okay, after 6 months you'll become a pig. So in the village, when he went back to his son, he said, this is not bearable, I cannot live in the same village where I am a respectable personality and after 6 months I am a pig in that village. So as soon as I will go to the forest, I will live there. After 6 months you find me, and as soon as you find me, you kill me, he said to the son. Why? Because I cannot continue living in that situation when I am already accustomed to living a very respectable life. How can I live like a pig in the same village? So the son came after 6 months, he saw there are so many pigs there. He could not find out father, he was trying to call out, there's no response. So after a lot of time, another 6 months passed, and then suddenly he found that in the group of these pigs, one pig remained there. He called father and he started looking at his son. And he was about to shoot that arrow. And he said, wait. He said, what happened? You told me to kill you. He told, see son, I have a family with me now. I have my own family and they are all dependent on me. I really love my family members. So please spare me and you go. The story can be also spoken in one term, that how satisfied that pig was. But the real meaning of, from a spiritual perspective, comes that, can you imagine, from one condition to another condition, the comfort zone destroys the conviction. This simple story is enough to tell a lot. And therefore for a sadhaka, there has to be not an iota of comfort zone in that person's life. It will slowly and very like termites suck the and crumble the edifice of conviction which has been made very painfully by not us, by many acharyas, by many shastras, by many sadhus, by many well wishings of so many people. It's the greatest responsibility of the brahmana to maintain that purity of conviction. And therefore this this story comes in the Mahabharata, when Narad Muni was visiting from a sacrifice. He actually met four kings, King Ashtak, Vasuman, Pratardhan, they all were three brothers, and then Shibi Maharaj. So all four of them were traveling together. They said, why don't you join Narad Muni with us? So Narad Muni joined. So then Ashtak Maharaj said that, so for all the merits of the pious activities, one gets heaven. So will you let us know that who of us will go to heaven? He said, all four of you will go to heaven. But then he said, the pious credits of the heaven also determines how much long they will stay. So who will be staying for longer? So he said, see, the least you will stay, Ashtak. He said, why? Because when I came once to your palace and I asked whom these cows belong to, he said, these are cows which I give in charity to the Brahmins. He said, because of a pride in charity, you will come back from heaven the earliest. Then he said, the next one to fall will be Pratardhan. He said, why? Because once Pratardhan Maharaj, I went to him and I asked, and there was a Brahman who came to him in front of his chariot, and he said, I want one horse. So one Brahman took his one left horse, he was left with three horses, was riding. Another Brahman came, he said, one more horse, in the right one. Then another Brahman came, he said, one. Fourth one came, he also take one. He had nothing. He yoked the chariot himself. Such a great charity. But then, while yoking that chariot alone, he said, now I have nothing to give to any Brahmins. Very derisively he said, abhi kuch dene ke liye bacha hi nahi. Abhi kya mangenge mere sir? So he said, because of that act of giving charity with derision, he'll come back soon. And third, Vasuman, he said, when I saw him coming to palace, one Brahman came Actually, I came to him and I asked him, he had a beautiful chariot, there was a yagya and he was getting celestial chariot. I said, this chariot looks so nice. He said, you liked it, you take this chariot. Without even asking, he gave it to me. Next time again I came, and again there was a chariot, the new one. I asked, this chariot looks very beautiful. He again gave it to me. The third time when I came, and he said, this chariot looks beautiful. He said, this chariot is indeed beautiful, but I am not giving it to you. He said, for that, we'll fall. But then what about Shibi Maharaj? He will stay the longest in heaven. He said, what has he done? He said, once a Brahman came to him and he said that, please give me food in charity. He said, go to kitchen and take whatever you want. Get whatever you want. He said, no, I want rice and meat cooked from your son's flesh. So Shibi Maharaj, even without thinking twice, he went off, killed his own son, brought the flesh, and by the time that Brahman had gone, and the news came to the king that Brahman has set up the whole palace on fire. When the Brahman came back, he served this person very, very respectfully. Those are the Brahmans of those time who knew what to ask. Right? I'm not talking about the times now. Right? Someone who has not known Arthashastra may not know what to ask and from whom. So therefore, this is explained. So he said, this Brahman said that because I am Dharma personified myself, I am God Dhatri, and I was sent by Dharma personified, and I have tested you, all the gods have tested you. Your son is alive, your palace is intact, you deserve to be in the heaven for the longest time. So charity also has to be given as if there is nothing that is given. So one very nice short story about Janak Maharaj. Janak Maharaj, one Brahman came and asked him, where do you give me position or stay in your dominion? Where will you give me? He said, let me think. So he went into swoon. He felt that I have nothing in this world. And he said, nothing belongs to me, nothing is mine. And at the same time, as I feel this sense of renunciation or detachment, I feel everything is belonging to me, in one sense. Either nothing belongs to me or everything is in my dominion. He said, how is this possible? He said, I have the least attachment to any of these. This nothing is mine because everything is temporary, as explained in this shloka. Very nice way to resolve this contradiction. This story resolves this contradiction. Wealth, using and being used or being distracted by it. So he said, I have nothing because everything is temporary in this world. I am also belonging to this temporariness of this world. But still, when I see this kingdom, I see all the facilities, my eyes don't feel the sense to smell. My nose does not have any sense to enjoy the smell. Therefore, all the fragrance of the earth is under my control. Similarly, everything that I want to taste, everything I want to touch, everything that I want to see, everything that I want to hear, nothing attracts me. Therefore, all these Panch Mahabhut are under my dominion. In that sense, the whole world is under my dominion. Go and take any place that you want. I am completely free from the attachment to it. Hence, I have no sense of false renunciation. How deep understanding? I am not, nothing belongs to me, yet everything is under my dominion. This concept of the balance of the maturity of outlook in spiritual understanding is what drives the sadhaka to sadhya with great, great happiness and joy. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over the place and you see Krishna in every living entity, in every aspect of his life. Stavara jangama dekhi na dekhi tara murti. Everything that was static, everything that was moving, everything was actually Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness, and this is actually which will take our journey back home, back to Godhead, without creating any distractions. And therefore our conviction will become stronger, our character will become deep, and our competence will excel and help us all to go home back to Godhead, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Chanting is the most important in all this sea. That is understood. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Sarasvati Bhagavatam ki jai.